Hey everybody, Jay here with a bit of a public service announcement. We wanted to let all of our loyal listeners know that the Agile Uprising is co-sponsoring the upcoming 12th annual Give Thanks for Scrum event produced by Agile Boston. This event is going to have the keynote speaker of Agile's own Jeff Sutherland with a QA panel in the afternoon, and as well as a host of other speakers and presenters. This event runs at 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Tuesday, November 24th, and of course, it is online. For more information, including tickets, please go to www.agileboston.org/give-thanks-for-scrum-2020. And again, we'll have a link to this in the show notes. Thanks again, all, and enjoy the show.
Hey, y'all, this is Lisa Atkins on Agile Uprising.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Uprising Podcast. I'm your host again, Jay Hersko. Joined with me, I have a fellow coalition member, a good friend of mine, and officially the irregular, sorry, John Schneider, Mike Goodell. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jay. How are y'all?
I am fantastic. So we have yet another episode of Should I Take This? And tonight we're going to talk about Agenda Shift, Leading with Outcomes by Mike Burrows. Mike and I both took this course, I believe it was a week or so ago. We both think very highly of it, but I don't want to bury the lead. So let's go into some of the details. So Mike, I'll start with asking you, before you took the course, how familiar were you with the subject? Like what Mike's work, Mike's background, how familiar were you, were you at all?
I was aware of it, jumped onto his Slack channel, got his newsletters and would kind of skim them, but had not really explored it in any depth, to be quite honest. And so I was pleasantly surprised at the depth that I encountered in just the narrow slice that we looked at in this class.
I would say the same thing for me. I'm aware of Mike. I had... You know, Agenda Shift's one of those books that I put in my Amazon cart, I take it out, I put it in, I take it out, you know, so I just never got around to buying it. I know he ran in the same circles as the OA Open Leadership Network, right? So like the Mark Burgesses and the Dan Mezicks and the John Bucks and all that. So I was aware of his work, but I didn't really know much about it. And which leads me to my next question is to why did you take the course? For me, Mike, I think we came across this. It was mentioned in Xscale, the Peter Merrill Xscale class.
Yes.
I think he did mention Agenda Shift. I went out and looked, and I mean, the course itself is, I mean, for the value is super inexpensive. And it was 2 days at 2.5 hours a day. And I figured, it's worth the money to see what I get out of it. How about you? Same experience, same thoughts?
Very similar. Yeah. What really hooked my attention was the title, and then the course lived up to the title, which was, you know, the title focuses on outcomes. And in the work that I'm doing with my client currently, we're working real hard to help this organization be outcome driven as opposed to anything else, you know, chaotic or completely process driven. So it connects with what I'm doing in the rest of my day and being familiar with it. And I agree. It's there's a kind of a vibe to everything that that Mike Burrows has put out into the public space of it's not I think you may have used this recently, Jay. It's not waving and planting a flag. He's saying, hey, here's some thoughts. Here's an idea. Here's an approach. I've seen this work. So give it a shot. Yeah, it's not an all or nothing. It's a complement as opposed to a replacement.
Right. And that's one of the things that jumped out at me. He said really early on the first day, he said, look, these are things that you could walk out of this class today at the end of it and start using. He said, and like you said, he said quite a few times, I'm not trying to impose it. I know it works for me. I'm pretty sure it would work for you. Give it a shot and take a look. So for a little bit more background for our listeners. So Agenda Shift breaks down into 5 separate pieces. And this class was around the first piece, which is all about discovery. And like Mike Cadell said, it starts with outcomes. And as Mike Burrows, I should probably call him Mr. Burrows going forward to avoid confusion, as Mr. Burrows points out going forward, the whole class is really about, at the end of the day, it's about patterns, right? And learning patterns and patterns that are applicable in multiple places, multiple layers. And the first pattern he starts the class with is the I do pattern, right? Which is start with an ideal, which leads to obstacles, which leads to outcomes. And the whole class itself was all around that that idea. He introduced a bunch of different techniques, a bunch of different ways of working that I thought were pretty amazing. Mike, what did you think of the course materials?
I thought the course materials were well organized, and doing this virtually, which at the risk of sounding like a broken record, is not my favorite medium. Mr. Burrows did a really good job of, in the virtual medium, keeping us engaged. One of the things I liked that he did was he used Google Docs and didn't present slides. So, yeah, he never took over control of the screen, control of your attention. So it's in keeping with the participation, with voluntary participation as opposed to imposition. He didn't impose on the where my consciousness was going, so to speak. And the material was concise and rich. And one of the things I appreciate about it is the vast majority of the learning came from small group activities and doing. And it's not a 130 page book that you take notes in. That's a printout of a bunch of slides, minimal slideware, much more emphasis on learning by doing.
Yeah, you're right. It's very much a exercise heavy class. I mean, our class, I think, Mike, it was about 10 people, I want to say, give or take.
10. It was 10.
No, it was from 10 on the nose. And we were broken out into breakout rooms, which is one of the things Zoom does great. But it was like Mike said, it was all about the exercise and the group learning and the conversation. So the stuff that we did was not reading off a slide. It was not being forced to move at Mr. Burrows' pace. It really was, hey, here's the idea. Conceptually, here's how you want to run with it. Let's go into your breakout rooms. I gave you the bounding box about what to try. Try it and come back and let's talk about how it worked. And that was one of the cooler things. Like, Mike, we just talked about, we just came off an Xscale episode where we talked about that whole idea of triple loop learning, right? I think it was the reason why a lot of this stuff stuck with me personally was he gave us instruction. We'd go to the room, we'd do the exercise, we'd break down the exercise, but then we'd come back and break it down as a group as a whole. So we were continuously talking amongst ourselves about what we observed, what we thought worked, what we thought didn't. And I really thought it was it resonates that way.
And one other thought that you just reminded me of, Jay, is I think Mr. Burrows did a fantastic job of pacing the amount of time to the content so that there was time to come back and decompose or share our experience and decompose it a bit. In some other courses, I've been a participant and also been required to teach. The pacing of time to content is so tight that the instructor or me as the instructor are feeling pressure to, I love that discussion, but I got to keep moving because I got these 270 other slides to get through before the end of the day tomorrow. It was the polar opposite of that, which I thought was awesome and very refreshing.
You're right. The pacing of the exercise was great. And it kind of made me think, okay, so what other ones does he have out there that I want to take? Because the way it worked was it was very much group exercise oriented. It was very much collaborative as opposed to, like you said, I have 642 slides to get through in 3 days. I'm only on slide 48. We need to pick up. Great conversation, but table it. We need to move forward, which was not the experience we had at all. So let me ask you this, Mike. Out of all the stuff that we were introduced to in that two-day run, what was the thing that sticks out in your mind the most, or you most walked away with, I really like this, I'm going to use it?
Yeah. Two things really jumped out to me. One is this module, this course, was really taking the concept of clean language. Anyone is familiar with clean language, a fellow coalition member turned me on to the book by Caitlin Walker, From Contempt to Curiosity. So that, you know, when we were going through this, I told Mr. Burroughs, I was like, I feel like I'm reading Contempt to Curiosity again. So, but it was applying it. So that was just brilliant. And I've been kind of sort of experimenting with how I could take the concepts of clean language and incorporate them into my day in, day out client work and coaching. But this really helped crystallize it for me. So as a result, since then, I've been able to thread more clean language into the coaching work that I do. Facilitating a retrospective today with a group of executives. One, there was a point about we don't have enough, we got too much work for the capacity. And I pulled something out of from this class and used it, and it completely shifted the dynamic from a complaint to, okay, here's what I'm going to do about it. I was like, yeah, and because in the back of mind, I'm thinking, yeah, dude, you got the authority to do it. So, you know, but yeah, just this simple thing of the language, the impact that it makes, that was really brilliant. One of the other things, it seems like a small thing, but again, it's language. And think back to one of my coaching buddies who is fond of saying, when you're in the midst of transformation, every word matters sometimes. But when looking at the concept of obstacles, he pointed out some smells to watch out for, scarcity obstacles. When mm-hmm. people say, lack of this or insufficient that, or if only that, or that's a cue to dig deeper, because that's not really getting to the mm-hmm. the root obstacle. The other thing was that I thought was a great tip and a good reminder is to be very aware of lazy language, tribal shorthand, jargon, or language. And this one I see a lot in my daily work is language that is not intended to, but can be perceived as judgmental. So, those seem like little bitty things, but man, they can make a difference.
Yeah, they I mean, in the aggregate, they are little things, but they add up to something much, much bigger, right? Mr. Burroughs, he's going to get a kick when he listens to this and hears us referred to him as Mr. Burroughs the whole time. He talks about early on that agenda shift is a gateway drug for clean language. That was his one-liner that I wrote down. And I eventually we are going to get someone from either, we'll get Caitlin Walker, we'll get Marion Wayne, we'll get somebody on the Talk Clean Language, because it really is a fascinating topic. But the whole idea of the questions that you ask don't come front-loaded with any preconceived notions. And the idea of not projecting your thoughts or your intended maybe preconceived outcome onto another person by asking these questions in this way was really, really powerful. And Mike, I think you will agree with me that it's not something that's instinctual. It definitely takes some practice, because I know when we went through that exercise, I wouldn't say I'd struggled, but it's kind of hard to not have it as muscle memory yet. So I had to put a little bit more cognition into it than I would have liked.
Yeah, kind of along those lines, Jay, when I first encountered clean language, the Contempt of Curiosity, shout out fellow coalition member Claudia, turned me on to that. And I read it and I was like, wow, this makes a difference. So from that point on, I've been working on cleaning up my language, not like, you know, you such and such, but, you know, using clean language. And yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, months of practice and this course, I'm maybe starting to see it take root. So it, yeah, it takes a while to program it into your consciousness or your subconsciousness, whatever. So
either way, God bless words, you, right? That's an impressive, yeah. It's an impressive accomplishment, because I'm still looking at these questions like, oh, I don't know how it, I'm just going to take reps, right? It's going to take
it takes
a lot
practice,
of practice
absolutely.
To get it to do it on the fly. But you did mention another thing that Mr. Burroughs brings up a lot, the idea of jargon, right? And he had a quote in the class that I actually asked him when I got to interview him after the class, where he said he was given an example where he worked with a customer where they defined Lean Agile in plain terms in their own words. And for them, that was very cathartic. And I do think, to the point of clean language, that's something that, Mike, I think we kind of lose, is we a lot of times, you know, we'll go running headfirst into a transformation, especially when we're working for a consulting company that shotguns us into an engagement, right? Not a lot of times do people take the time to stop and say, well, what does lean mean? Lean Agile, what does that mean for us? Because those two words now are almost inextricably linked. What does that mean for us? How do we define that? And then what? And then it ties to, you know, what is success like and all that. I definitely think a lot of stuff gets lost in the jargon. I also really liked one of the most impactful classes I've ever taken as a coach was at my last job. They offered a class in coaching, and they talk about the GROW model, which is what a lot of Agenda Shift is based on. So a lot of this 15-minute photo and the clean language piece, it's all built on the GROW model, which I was, once Mr. Burroughs said that, I was like, okay, I've taken that class. I kind of know where he's going with there. The goals, reality, options, and what are you going to do about it? A lot of his stuff does take that same track, which I thought was really, really cool. Oh, and by the way, I probably short shrifted it. The class, we talked about both discovery and exploration. We didn't go into like mapping, elaboration, or operation, which are some of the other courses. So, I mean, all in all, I thought the coursework was great. I thought it was presented in a way that's easily accessible and easily referenced if I wanted to go back to it. Let me ask you this, Mike. If you had to suggest this course to somebody, right, who would you suggest it to?
I would suggest it to anyone who is in a leadership, management, or coaching role, whether it's formal or informal. So if someone who wants to grow themselves into being a leader, a manager, or a coach, or some combination of them, this will help you immensely. The gateway drug to clean language, I think, is a very apt description. And the, you know, why I say that is because Mr. Burroughs created and presents a very concise, easy to grok, easy to use mechanism to put into practice a very difficult concept. Mm. And it's a concept that no matter what you're doing, when you're interacting with other human beings, this can be helpful. Even if it's a pair, two people, this can be helpful.
I would echo what you said, and I would also add, if you know someone who's in strategic planning, who's in any type of portfolio and roadmap visualization generation, making business case plans for the next year, 12, 18 months, what have you. I know that's almost anti-agile to say that, but if you're in any of that type of strategic role, the I do pattern and the 15-minute photo and some of the other things that Mr. Burroughs introduces in this class alone, I believe you could get a lot of mileage out. Just the idea of, you know, there are no bad ideas, bring them all in. And then bring all your possible outcomes in, and then you can chuff them down and move to like short-term, long-term, mean-term, short-term, medium-term, long-term. Like all of that stuff is usable right out of the gate. And if you do any type of strategic planning, I mean, we were talking about beforehand, Hoshin Kanri, I probably said that wrong, that whole four zone box thinking you could do in an Excel easy, that shows up as well. So anybody who's doing anything type of strategic, or you want to get into strategic planning, ideation, it crosses a lot of lines with almost like design thinking. That's, this is definitely in your wheelhouse, along with what Mike said around anybody who's in leadership, anybody who's in coaching. This would definitely be helpful. So, Mike, a couple of last questions. And I guess, well, actually, it is the only last question. So I think we would both concur that it was definitely worth the time investment for the rather small amount of capital outlaid. You definitely get your value back in spades and then some. True story, the class is wrapping up. And Mike, my guest and I, we were actually on the Agenda Shift site trying to find the next class because it was that enjoyable that it was like, oh, well, I would keep going. This is really, really fascinating. Any final thoughts, Mike, on the class itself?
I think if you have an opportunity, take this class. It will be well worth the time invested. And if you don't have the opportunity to take this class, maybe look at some of the work that Mike has put out into the community. And there's a couple different ways that you can access clean language. And I've become a very firm believer and advocate in the concept of clean language. And so if this isn't the gateway, your drug of choice to get into clean language, there's a number of other ways. EJ, you got something in your reading pile on it?
Yeah, I actually do. I've got Clean Approaches for Coaches by Marion Way, which is the other clean language book aside from Caitlin Walker's. I will get to that eventually, but that was actually the book. Mr. Burroughs suggested both books. So either way, I think we're really going to get someone on to talk about clean language because really is quite powerful.
Explore clean language because it's liberating. And it's at the risk of being redundant, it's clarifying, and it's like it has the ability, if used well, to just remove a lot of the confusion and fog that can accompany human interactions at times.
I can't think of a better way to wrap us up. I'm going to let us go out on that, Mike. I want to thank you for your time on behalf of Mike and myself. I want to thank all of our listeners. I also want to give a shout out to Mr. Burroughs. I did just get to interview him earlier this week, so that episode will be out probably before this one. So definitely check it out. We will have him back on when the second version of Agenda Shifts comes out to talk about that. But yeah, check out the class. It is definitely worth your while. I want to thank Mike again. And until next time, it's the Agile Uprising Podcast signing out.
Wear a mask.